I want to read to you, starting out, a story. And it's one of my favorite stories ever, but there are some very, very powerful lessons for us. And you might have read it. This was written a few years ago. And it's simply entitled, God Lives Under the Bed. Let me read you this story. This young man's sister wrote this story. She says, my brother Kevin thinks that God lives under his bed. At least that's what I heard him say one night. He was praying out loud in his dark bedroom, and I stopped outside his closed door to listen. Are you there, God? He said. Where are you? Oh, I see, under the bed. I giggled softly and tiptoed off to my own room. Kevin's unique perspectives, she says, are often a source of amusement. But that night, something else lingered long after the humor. I realized for the first time the very different world that Kevin lives in. Kevin was born 30 years ago, mentally disabled as a result of difficulties during labor. And apart from his size, he's 6'2", there are few ways in which he is an adult. He reasons and communicates with the capabilities of a 7-year-old, and he always will. He will probably always believe that God lives under his bed. And I'm not promoting Christmas, but the story goes on. That Santa Claus is the one who fills the space under the tree every Christmas, and that airplanes stay up in the sky because angels carry them. I remember wondering if Kevin realizes he's different. Is he ever dissatisfied with his monotonous life? He's up before dawn each day, off to work at a workshop for the disabled, home to walk our Cocker Spaniel, returning to eat his favorite macaroni and cheese for dinner, and later to bed. The only variation in the entire scheme are laundry days, when he hovers excitedly over the washing machine like a mother with her newborn child. She says he does not seem dissatisfied. He lopes out to the bus every morning at 7:05, eager for a day of simple work. He wrings his hands excitedly while the water boils on the stove before dinner, and he stays up late twice a week to gather our dirty laundry for his next day's laundry chores. And Saturdays. Oh, the joy of Saturdays. You see, that's the day my dad takes Kevin to the airport to have a soft drink, to watch the planes land, and speculate loudly on the destination of each passenger inside. That one's going to Chicago, Kevin shouts as he claps his hands. His anticipation is so great that he can hardly sleep on Friday nights. I don't think Kevin knows anything exists outside of his world of daily rituals and weekend field trips. He doesn't know what it means to be discontent. His life is simple. He will never know the entanglements of wealth or power. And he does not care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. He recognizes no differences in people, treating each person as an equal and a friend. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. His hands are diligent. Kevin is never so happy when he's working. When he unloads the dishwasher or vacuums the carpet, his heart is completely in it. He does not shrink from a job when it is begun, and he does not leave a job until it's finished. But when his tasks are done, Kevin knows how to relax. She says, Kevin is not obsessed with his work or the work of others. His heart is pure. He still believes that everyone tells the truth, that promises must be kept, and when you're wrong, you apologize instead of argue. He's free from pride and unconcerned with appearances. Kevin is not afraid to cry when he's hurt, when he's angry or sorry. Kevin is always transparent, always sincere. She says the next paragraph, and he trusts God. Not confined by intellectual reasoning, When he comes to Christ, he becomes as a child. Kevin seems to know God, to really be friends with him in a way that's difficult for a quote-unquote educated person to grasp. God seems like his closest companion. In my moments of doubt and frustration with my Christianity, his sister says, I envy the security Kevin has in his simple faith. It is then that I'm most willing to admit that he has some divine knowledge that rises above my mortal questions. It's then that I realize that perhaps he is not the one with the handicap. I am. My obligations, my fears, my pride, my circumstances, they all become disabilities to me when I do not submit to Jesus Christ. Who knows if Kevin comprehends things I can never learn. After all, he spent his whole life in that kind of innocence, praying after dark, and soaking up the goodness and the love of the Lord. And one day, she says, when the mysteries of heaven are opened and we are all amazed at how close God really is to our hearts, I will realize that God heard the simple prayers of a boy Since I'll realize that God heard the simple prayers of a boy who believed that God lived under his bed, Kevin won't be surprised at all. In my life before this, I worked for 40 years with adults with disabilities. And I knew a lot of people just like Kevin. I was humbled every day. I was genuinely loved every day. And as I read this story, and I've read it 100 times, I'm still not sure why I have trouble with it. I wanted to talk a little bit more about some of the things she said about Kevin. Specifically, let's just talk about it a little bit. As I look at some of the things that I have, she says, he never seems dissatisfied. Now, I've had some people, and I've given this message other places, that said, well, he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know enough to be dissatisfied or be worried about things. And my answer to them has always been, you want to trade places with Kevin? You don't know what these people go through in their group homes and wondering who's going to come into their room at night and mess with them or bother them, or the way they're harassed and teased. But what about us? He does not seem dissatisfied. How do we compare to that? Are we as grateful as we want to be or know we should be? With what we have, with the circumstances. I know that I'm not always that way, but I have been, at times in my life, dissatisfied. She also says a few things here. He will never know the entanglements of wealth or power. He doesn't care what brand of clothes he wears or what kind of food he eats. That's not me. I'm picky about what I want to eat. There's certain clothes I don't want to wear because they're itchy or whatever. How grateful are we for what we have? She says his hands are diligent. He never stops what he's doing. He finishes a job. He never seems discontent. He takes it seriously. He's not obsessed with his work or the work of others. How about us? Can we say that about ourselves? Have we been always content You know, I know in my life I've let my job get in the way too many times of spending enough time with God. I think we probably all have, and we're sort of subject to that. What about this one? I get an F. She says, his heart is pure. What about your heart? And she says, and I'm starting to not like this guy, Kevin, show off. He still believes everyone tells the truth, that promises must be kept, and when you're wrong, you apologize instead of argue. That doesn't sound right. Free from pride and unconcerned with appearances. He's not afraid to cry when he's hurt, angry, or sorry. And then, again, the show off, he is always transparent. He is always sincere. How are you stacking up so far to Kevin? What about this one? And he trusts God. Not confined by intellectual reasoning, when he comes to Christ, he comes as a child. We won't turn to the scriptures. There's so many of them in our Bible that talks that we have to become childlike. And it says, Kevin seems to know God, to really be friends with him in a way that difficult for an educated person to grasp. God seems like his closest companion. I want to be like Kevin. I want to have all of these traits that he has. And what about her thought when she says, I didn't realize that perhaps Kevin is not the one with the handicap. I am. She talks about her obligations, her fears, her pride, her circumstances, that they all become disabilities when I do not submit them to Christ. I won't ask for a show of hands because I don't want to be the only one raising my hand, but how do we compare to that? I like the end of it. It says, I realize one day when the mysteries of heaven are open, when Christ returns for us and we understand, and we're all amazed at how God really is in our hearts, how close God really is to our hearts. I realized that God heard the simple prayers of a boy who believed that God lives under his bed. Kevin won't be surprised at all. I want to meet this particular guy myself. Again, I was so blessed over all those years to know many, many people, severely disabled people whose faith was strong. They didn't believe what we believe, but from what they were taught, it was important to them, and they never deviated. They loved genuinely. Their heart was open. They were honest. They were sincere. Mm-hmm. When they were angry, they cried. If they did something wrong, they apologized. I hope each of you can find a Kevin in your life. And better yet, I hope that all of us can become, in this case, more like Kevin.